Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Rudderman. We are up to Chapter 96, From Posen to Prague to Minsk. The high-ranking minister's surprise visit to Vitebsk relaxed the people's dangerous mood. Word soon spread that the important visitor came especially to discover why the five Jewish dignitaries had been falsely imprisoned. The fact that a government official had come to protect the Jews of Vitebsk sent a clear warning to the governor, the priest, and his followers. Within a few days, normal life resumed in the city. Yitzhak Yitzchak was able to focus on preparing for his upcoming marriage. During the following weeks and months, Yitzhak Yitzchak discovered the unique qualities of his Kala, Devora Leah. He learned that she had a vast and expert knowledge of the history of the Jewish people. She was especially familiar with the history of the sages who studied and spread the teachings of Kabbalah. Devora Leah owned a bag filled with precious notes that she had collected over the years. She had recorded all the detailed information and wonderful stories that her mother had told her. She had also prepared notes on much of the material that she had studied by herself. From these notes, Yitzhak Yitzchak realized that the disagreement between those who encouraged the learning of Kabbalah and those who opposed it, insisting that the Jewish people spend all their time learning Nigla, had divided the Jewish people for many generations. He discovered the fascinating history that led to the creation of the Nistarim movement and the path of Hasidus that had only recently begun to grow and thrive under the leadership of Rabbi Yisrael Malshemtev. More than anything else, Yitzhak Yitzchak was amazed to learn about the life story of Rav Moshe of Minsk, Devora Leah's grandfather from her mother's side. Yitzhak Yitzchak had just come from Minsk himself, where he had spent many years learning in the famous yeshiva of that city. He had heard its residents mention Rav Moshe of Minsk on many occasions, always speaking highly of him. At the time, Yitzhak Yitzchak saw no reason to find out more about Rav Moshe. From what he had heard, he knew that Rav Moshe had at one time lived in Posen and that he had served as the head of the community. He had also heard that Rav Moshe was an outstanding Talmud Chacham and was very wealthy. Yet, Yitzhak Yitzchak never imagined that he would eventually marry the granddaughter of this famous Rav. Yitzhak Yitzchak now discovered that Rav Moshe's life story was not only fascinating, it was complicated as well. For one thing, Rav Moshe had not chosen to move from Posen to Minsk. Rather, he had felt forced to move away. The reason for Rav Moshe's move was an entire story in itself. To understand it, we need to go back to the year 5329, about 450 years ago. The head of the Christian church at that time was Pope Pius V. In that year, he decreed that all Jews living in the countries over which he had influence must be expelled. The only two cities where Jews could remain were the two Italian cities of Rome and Ancona. The Jews of these cities were considered extremely useful for the economy of the country. The decree against the Jews was canceled a number of years later when Pope Pius died and Pope Gregory XIII took over. Gregory allowed the Jews to return and resettle in all the places from which they had been expelled. At the same time, however, he tried to force the Jews to abandon Torah and mitzvahs. One of his ideas was to order all Jews to gather together with their non-Jewish neighbors each Sunday at their local churches in order to hear the priests speak about their religion. In this way, he hoped the Jews would be convinced to convert Chas v'Shalom. This painful situation continued for 12 long years. The popes who took office after Gregory realized that forcing Jews to come to church would not work. Instead, they gave permission for each local priest to use whatever methods he thought would be most successful in converting the Jews. The priests were more than happy to try their best. They ordered large gatherings in the Jewish streets and attempted to trap Jewish souls with their words. One day, additional trouble came from Rome, the seat of the Christian religion. The Pope had ordered the priests in each city and town to hold public debates with the Jews about the two religions, Judaism and Lahavdil Christianity. The Jews knew they were trapped. These debates never ended well for the Jews. If for whatever reason people decided that the Jews had lost a debate, the church would greatly increase the pressure on the Jews to convert, chas v'shalom. If the Jews won a debate, the church would consider it an insult to their religion and would instigate new waves of hatred and threats against the Jews. As mentioned, Rav Moshe was then the head of the Jewish community of Posen. He was not afraid to debate anyone at all. He believed with perfect faith in every letter of the Torah and every word of Chazal. He was confident that whoever debated him would end up looking like a fool. Rav Moshe was the direct descendant of the Maharal of Prague and from a long line of great scholars. He was an accomplished scholar himself and was also very learned in secular fields of knowledge. He was fluent in many languages, including French, Italian, German, Greek, and Latin. He was also an absolute expert in the Hebrew language as well. After learning for years, becoming an expert in Torah, and then Lahavdil fluent in all the secular sciences, Rav Moshe entered the jewelry business and became wealthy. He traveled from one country to the next for business and became well known and liked in all of them. Despite all this, Rav Moshe decided to give up his position as the head of the Posen community. He was concerned that as the leader, he would be forced to debate the priests, and that the priests would be very upset at him for winning. Were he to remain head of Posen's Jewish community, the Christians might take revenge on the entire community because of him. Apart from this worry, Rav Moshe felt deeply that he was not meant to remain the rest of his years in Posen. And so, he decided to move elsewhere. In order not to give the impression that he was running away from the priests, he moved slowly in stages. First, he sold his properties one at a time, taking the money he earned from these sales outside the country, bit by bit on his many travels. Then, having sold his properties and placing the money in secure locations outside the country, Rav Moshe gathered his family and moved from Posen to Prague, where many of his relatives, descendants of the Maharal, still lived. Rav Moshe did not plan to stay long in Prague either. A while later, he moved his family from Prague to Minsk in Poland, which was where he had actually decided to settle. While in Rome on one of his business trips, Rav Moshe found himself with no choice but to take part in a major debate, although he had no desire to do so. This occurred while his family was still living in Prague. Rav Moshe had entered the large library of the Vatican, the seat of the Christian religion and the home of their popes. Far from seeking a debate, he simply wished to examine some of the ancient books and precious manuscripts stored there.